We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is your inside source to Hokie Sports, the Hokie Sports Insider. Let's go! Time to catch up on everything happening in Hokie Nation with your host, Evan Hughes.
Hello, Tech fans, and welcome back to another week of the Hokie Sports Insider Podcast. This is episode number 7, available to you on Wednesday, September 22nd. My name is Evan Hughes, proud host of the Hokie Sports Insider Podcast. So glad all of you could make time to join us for what is going to be another jam-packed show talking about great Virginia Tech wins over the last week. If you didn't hear about it, we'll break it all down for you on Hokie Sports Insider Podcast. What a great weekend for Virginia Tech soccer. The headliner, the Hokies men's soccer program, a thrilling double overtime win against UVA in what was in front of a record turnout of over 2,700 people. The most fans ever at Thompson Field. It happened this Friday against UVA, a great game that we'll talk about in just a little bit. How about Virginia Tech women's soccer, who's now won 4 of their last 5 games, 3 straight victories for Coach Chugger Adair's squad. They started off ACC play this Saturday with a 1-0 win against North Carolina State at home. And Virginia Tech volleyball has wrapped up their non-conference part of the season. They are 9-3, picked up 2 wins at Castle Coliseum this weekend. We're going to talk about all that and more on episode number 7 of the Hokie Sports Insider Podcast. And we have 2 great guests. We'll have Jacob Labovitz of Virginia Tech men's soccer on the show, as well as Nicole Kozlova of Virginia Tech women's soccer on the podcast this week. My conversation with Jacob coming up in just a moment. And what a weekend it was for Jacob Labovitz, scoring not one, but 2 goals in the Hokies' win over the Cavaliers, including the game winner in double overtime. We talk about the win over UVA. We talk about what it was like playing in front of over 2,700 people on Friday, his dual citizenship, as he's a citizen of both the United States and Hungary, and how he would love to get into nonprofit work when his playing days are all said and done. We've got such a great Hokie Sports Insider podcast coming to you this week, episode number 7. Of course, each and every show is proudly presented by Main Street Pharmacy and Smithfield. We'll step aside for a break. When we come back, my conversation with Jacob Labovitz of Virginia Tech Men's Soccer. This is the Hokie Sports Insider Podcast.
You're on the inside. More Hokie Sports Insider is next.
When you support Main Street Pharmacy, you also support your Virginia Tech Hokies. Main Street Pharmacy is locally owned in Blacksburg by a proud Hokie alum. We have quick, superior service, we save people money, and we have free delivery to the Virginia Tech campus, Blacksburg, and Christiansburg. Our patients are our family, and we invite you to join us today. Transferring prescriptions is easy. Visit msblacksburg.com or call us at 540-605-7721, and we'll take care of everything. Main Street Pharmacy. We treat you like a neighbor, not a number.
Time for the Hokie Insider of the Week. This is the Hokie Sports Insider.
Jacob Labovitz from Virginia Tech Men's Soccer, our guest on the Hokie Sports Insider Podcast. Jacob, thanks so much for being here. You are zooming in from Williamsburg. You guys are getting ready to play William & Mary as we record this podcast. But congratulations, a thrilling win in double overtime against the University of Virginia on Friday. You scored both goals. How are you feeling a couple days removed from knocking off the arch rival in Blacksburg?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I think it was just such a cool win. Like, the atmosphere was incredible. Like, you know, it's why we play, you know. And then with these games so close together now, you know, a bunch of Tuesday, Fridays, we are just, you know, we have to, you know, kind of take it in for a day or two, and then we're right on to the next task, and we have, you know, our eyes set on William & Mary, and we're just completely all in for this game. You know, with this tight schedule, you got to just be, you know, enjoy and then keep going the next one. You just got to just keep going and going and going. So
you have scored so many big time goals in your career. I mean, the game winning goal in overtime against Louisville in 2020, game winner NCAA tournament against Oregon State, and now the game winner in double overtime against Virginia. Does any of those, like, do you have a favorite amongst any of those? I mean, I'm sure beating UVA's got to be up there, right?
Yeah. All three of them were just so special at such different parts of the season. And all three times when we really needed a big win to kind of propel us into our next phase of the season. So I wouldn't say any of them is any more special than the other one. They're just all different, but they're all very, very special just because of the different, you know, different phases we were in. But beating UVA at home in front of that many fans, that was quite a moment. And, you know, it wasn't just me. I mean, it was for our whole team. It was an amazing moment for the fans, for the coaching staff, for the players. I mean, I think it just meant the world to everyone there, you know.
How hungry were you guys to get back on the pitch after, I know, a tough loss against Duke? You guys competed your heart out against them. What were the adjustments that were made in practice last week? And were you able to kind of just get that taste out of your mouth going into UVA?
Yeah, I think we knew that we, you know, we definitely, you know, had a chance to have won that Duke game. And I think, you know, having the, I don't know, maybe like a 5 or 6 day break helped us kind of, you know, kind of get back into our rhythm. You know, when a loss like that, you know, especially in ACC, it's a tough one. But the good thing is, you know, with college soccer, you're gonna have another game in a couple of days to kind of, you know, get your mojo back and going the other way. So I think we were, you know, we reflected, we watched film, you know, we understood what we needed to do, and we fixed it. And I'm really proud of us and the way we bounced back. So
I want to spend some time breaking down this Virginia game, as I know all of our listeners on Hokie Sports Insider want to hear about. Take me through the first goal that you scored in the second half off of the free kick. What did you see, and what did Kyle do finding you there and placing the ball where he did?
Yeah, so I knew Kyle was going to put it in that general area because I kind of could tell that, you know, the back post and in the middle of the goal was extremely crowded. And so I saw that was the space to kind of, you know, if I was going to go, jump into. And you know, basically there was one, the first player was right in front of me, and then the other one was right behind, so I just stuck in between the two of them, hoping that the ball would go exactly where it went, where all I have to do is come up from an angle and just kind of get a little head on it and then just guide it to the goal. So I mean, that it literally went exactly as planned. So it was pretty cool.
And then Virginia scores, ties the game at one. You go into overtime. And for those listening that don't know the college soccer overtime rules, it's, you know, golden goal. Whoever scores first wins. It's two 10-minute periods. So you guys play the first overtime, no score. And then you're in double overtime, where If nobody scores, you guys tie. Take me through the final couple of minutes of the game and what you saw on the eventual game winner.
Yeah. The thing about overtime is, you know, although it is, you know, one team is trying to win, you also don't want to lose. That's so it's not like it's also kind of an interesting, you know, you're kind of an interesting balance. Like, you know, you're pushing for the win, but you also don't want to push so much that you lose. You know, so it's kind of an interesting balance that's kind of has to be understood by the players, that, you know, you're going to give it your all for the win, but at the same time, you're not going to go so hard that, you know, you leave yourself vulnerable to get beat. So I knew personally that if I just needed one, I just needed a good chance. And I knew that during those 20 minutes, it was going to come in one of those times. So I was just patiently waiting, you know, working hard on defense and waiting for us to get in the same type of position we got in the, on the goal. And honestly, I knew that I had to be behind that guy, because winning that in front of him would be at a weird angle and I wouldn't be able to get the type of power I wanted. And so I waited behind, hoping that, you know, I would jump about a second later than he did and just make, and I either was going to make contact or he was going to head the ball away. So I knew one of the two was coming. So luckily he missed it and it came right to me. I just had to snap my neck and that was it.
And great feed from Pole, correct?
Yeah, great. And then it was a great buildup. You know, it went from Seaver, you know, from Ayola to Seaver to Mason to Paul to Cam back to Paul. And then I was just watching it all happen, just waiting for eventually to get in one of those areas that it came into. And I mean, it was a great ball. It was a perfect pass. I mean, it was a perfect cross and had the perfect weight spin on it. That all I had to do was make sure I made good contact.
So beating UVA is very special for any program at Virginia Tech. Uh-huh. But beating Virginia at home in front of a record turnout of fans has to be even more special. A Thompson Field record, 2,725 fans to witness the Cavaliers and the Hokies. Take me back to last year, Jacob, and playing in front of no fans and then playing in front of what you guys did last Friday. How different are the two?
And I guess just a quick question for you. Was that like just the in-stadium? Because I mean, there's people all over the fences and everything. Like was that?
You know, I don't know if they even count the ones outside.
Yeah, because I was wondering, because that was pretty crazy too. Like everywhere you look, there's people. It's just like, it's insane. And I mean, I think last year against in some of our games at home, we I don't know if they were letting home fans, but people would go around the gate. So it was kind of like, you know, it felt like you're missing kind of some areas of the field. But here it was like everywhere you turn, there's fans cheering you on, picking you up. Like, and it was super special. You know, you kind of have a greater appreciation for a game of that magnitude and that, you know, so many people want to come out and support, especially after last year not having, you know, when a lot of games, you know, you felt like, you know, home field advantage matters when we were playing at, you know, neutral venues and stuff like that. So I think it definitely just like really was very special for all of us. Just kind of, you can't really put into words, you know, it's just kind of like, after the whole year of, you know, not having fans and, you know, we were, you know, I think at the ACC, we're playing at Duke against Clemson, you know, so you don't really feel like very connected to the field, you know, but it's like here, it's your home field. I had no idea we hadn't beat UVA since 2004, maybe, or something like that at home. So it was super special to get that win and kind of show the direction we're headed as a program.
And to your point, there were fans not just in the stands. There were fans over by the McComas side.
Oh, yeah.
And then what I thought was really special is when you scored the game winner and you ran to the far corner of the field right in front of the video board, many people don't know there's a steep hill where the
I found that hill.
And there were a bunch of fans over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's fans everywhere. I mean, like, I watched the goal, and, like, you could see fans, you know, climbing on the gate behind the – and so I, you know, I always love going over to like the corner flag where the team is, because, you know, just always so fun to celebrate with all the guys, and just kind of we all have one area where we celebrate together. And I mean, everywhere you look, there was people, and it was super special.
So you have beaten Virginia before in your career. I'm curious, since this one was at home with the fans, does this one feel a little different than other wins against the Cavaliers?
Yeah, I think the other one was it at UVA last like November or something? That one was definitely special because I think that had been like the last time we beat them in a long time. So it's kind of cool. But this was just like, it was at home and there was fans. And so I think both of them very special and instrumental to the program. But this one, I feel like everyone will remember a little bit more than that one.
We're talking with Jacob Labovitz of Virginia Tech men's soccer on the Hokie Sports Insider podcast. He scored not one, but two goals in the Hokies' double overtime win against Virginia on Friday. And Jacob, it is my pleasure to break some news to you on the Hokie Sports Insider podcast that you don't know yet, but you're going to find out right now. Congratulations, for the second time in your career, you are the ACC Offensive Player of the Week for your performance last week. So congratulations. That's thank a you. Honor right there.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think that goes just as much to my teammates as it does me, and to everyone who was there at that stadium that night. And, I couldn't have done it without everyone there. So I say it's just as much everyone's as it is mine. So.
Well, congratulations again. And, congrats as we take a 10,000-foot perspective of the season as a whole. Congrats on the great start to the year. I mean, as we record this podcast, you guys are 3-1-2. You've got a win against number one Marshall. You've got a win against Virginia. You've got a win against a really good Central Florida team. What is it about this team that has allowed for so much success early in the season, would you say?
I think we have a lot of confidence in the person next to you on the field. And I think we're all fighters. Like in games where, the team is a very good historical team or it's just a very big name, we know that the guy next to us will give his, his heart for you. He'll work just as hard as anyone for the guy, the guy next to you. And I think as a team, we're really good at every single person not even just on the field, but on the bench and the staff, that everyone is bought into our mentality of, we're a team. We're not just 11 players. We're a whole unit. And I think that's what really sets us apart from, not sets us apart, but just kind of, it makes us special that we're very much of a team, great chemistry and both on and off the field. So I think it's our teamwork and our kind of our mentality that helps us a lot.
How fun was it to come from behind down 2-0 to knock off the number one team in the land, the defending national champions in Marshall? Will you remember that for the rest of your career?
Yeah, I actually didn't play in that game, but I think that was an incredible moment just because it meant so much for the team. And, I think that's just such a – I'm not sure how many – I think maybe 2017 or something, they beat Notre Dame, who was number one. And, that was a super special moment, knocking off a number one. I feel like that's something you could, never take away from the guys. And, a team like Marshall, it's, every single time you play someone, as a number one team, you're always having that team who wants to take you down no matter what. So I think it was a super special win for the program for sure.
Hey, the country was put on notice when they won without you that weekend, that when you came back, this was going to be a team to beat, as you guys have proven so far this year. Jacob, you guys have William and Mary as we record tonight on Tuesday. Yeah. This podcast will come out on Wednesday at noon. Okay. I know you don't like to look ahead, but as this will come out, the next game ahead for you guys is Notre Dame this Friday at home at Thompson Field. I'm curious what it'll mean to you and your team to play, and what's going to be the 50th anniversary game to honor 50 years of Virginia Tech men's soccer. What will that mean to you guys to be playing in that game when so many alums from years prior will be there for that game?
I think that game will definitely be a lot of pride playing a familiar ACC opponent at home with, as you said, a lot of alumni there. I think it's just a lot of pride. I think, just being able to, that these guys before us have, paved the way, and here we are, just showing years of great work and, constant improvement. So I think it's going to be just a really special and cool night that we get to, get the chance to do it, on the 50th anniversary.
And an opportunity for more than 2,725 Hokies to come and break that record this Friday, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, that would be unbelievable playing two Fridays in a row with that kind of crowd. And everyone who was there, everyone on our team just appreciates the support so much. And it was just such a really unbelievable atmosphere. And, everyone, I'm sure, hopes that, and I'm sure even, the opponent's team have to just be like, that's pretty cool to play in front of as well. I think, if we could repeat that or get somewhere close to that, that would be really cool as well.
Jacob Labovitz, our guest on this week's Hokie Sports Insider podcast from Great Falls, Virginia. I'm curious, Jacob, did you grow up a Hokie fan?
You know, it's funny because, like, everyone knows, you know, Virginia Tech and Virginia, but I never really grew up a Hokies fan. You know, I just kind of knew it as a school that a lot of people went to in Virginia. And, you know, I mean, never really knew too much about the school. Didn't know much about a lot of the Virginia schools, just kind of, you know, basic stuff. And so I guess, yeah, no, but I mean, I'm totally a Hokies fan now after being here.
Tell me, I mean, so you're from Virginia, you mentioned it, especially Northern Virginia, right? I mean, there's so many Hokies that are from Nova.
Oh, yeah.
What was it like for you, the recruiting process? When did you first get to know Coach Briz and the staff? And when did you know that Virginia Tech might be an option and a place for you to go?
So my first 2 years as I transferred to Tech, I went to Fairleigh Dickinson for 2 years. And then I went into the transfer portal. And that's when Briz originally reached out, Briz and Pat. Reached out to me, and I was like, I was all for it. I was like, ACC team, you know, on the rise program, you know, seems like everything that, you know, someone would want transferring. So, I mean, it was a no brainer for me. Once it was made happen, you know, once it was possible and kind of everything worked out with the transfer and, you know, getting all the paperwork sorted and everything, I knew it was going to be a good time.
And I mean, growing up at all, I mean, I know you started your career there, but did you ever go to Tech or like go on campus? I mean, as a kid growing up at all, or what? I mean, what was it like when you transferred the first time getting on campus?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I had never been to Tech, but I visited April of 2019 and I loved the campus. It's just such a cool, I mean, I remember the first thing, I came off the highway and all you see is huge Lane Stadium and like you see the baseball field. So I just saw, it was like, you know, very, and then, you know, when you kind of walk around campus, it's just it's a beautiful campus. So I was hooked. I was hooked for sure. And it's just, I love the weather. The weather's really nice. Especially when I came, it was like, you know, just starting to get warm and everything was blooming, especially all the gardens and everything. So it was really cool.
Let's take a step farther back. When you were a kid growing up, when did you first start loving the game of soccer, and when did you know it was something that you wanted to pursue past high school?
You know, I'd say when I started getting really, really serious about soccer was like maybe U13, U14. That's when I kind of, I had U14, I transferred to, well, not transferred, but I switched clubs to Loudoun because Loudoun was, they're starting to build a huge club. And that's when I kind of really started getting serious about it in terms of, you know, it was a little bit more of a time commitment, and it was like, you know, you're playing tournaments all over the place, like in Dallas and Kansas and all these places. So, you know, it's kind of at that point you go away from playing your local, you know, 10 or 15 teams to you're kind of going all over the place. And, you know, it starts with that college, like, you know, that freshman year, sophomore year, college, you know, craziness, like, you know, all the coaches are, you know, you can start, I don't remember the rules back then, but I think maybe like sophomore, junior year, they can reach out to you. So, you know, everyone's starting to get offers and kids are committed super early. And that was always kind of like, you know, I was never really like I wasn't an early committer, you know, so it was kind of like, you know, you kind of have to just stay strong and kind of, you know, trust that everything's going to work out for you, that, you know, because some people are already know where they want to go since freshman year of high school. So it was not the same case for me. So it was kind of, it's just like everyone has a different process, you know, which I think is also pretty cool to look back on.
I was about to say that, you know, everybody's journey is different, right? Some people commit when they're really young.
Yeah.
Some people wait until they're late in high school. Some people take a different route when they get to college, like you transferring into Virginia Tech. I'm curious, would you change anything about your journey, or does everything happen for a reason in your opinion?
Yeah, I'm a believer that everything happens for a reason. I personally wouldn't change anything because it, you know, made me into the person I am and the player I am. And, you know, it's, you know, I'm a firm believer that, yeah, it all happens for a reason. And couldn't be happier with my decision.
Well, I know Hokie Nation's certainly thrilled that you're a Hokie. You're here. You're Mr. Big Time Goal Scorer, as you are. Hey, I'm curious, you know, doing some research on you, I know that your sister played college lacrosse, and so I'm curious, who's the better athlete between Sarah Labovitz and Jacob Labovitz?
You know, I think she's a better natural athlete than me. I'll just say it. She just was always so talented. And like, I mean, you know, she played soccer, field hockey, lacrosse, basketball, track. I mean, she did everything and she was always just so good at it. And I had to really work to be good and to kind of, you know, I mean, I had some natural talent, but I mean, she just was like, I mean, never had played a sport and she was good at it, you know? So it's just kind of like, and she, yeah, she's, I think she's a junior now. She's playing field hockey and lacrosse. It's a D3 school she goes to. And, you know, so they're a little bit more flexible with the schedules. So she's doing both right now. So yeah, I mean, she, I would say naturally maybe her, but I've worked really hard to get where I am. So I always tell her that too.
She plays two sports in college. If you could play another sport in addition to soccer, what would you play?
I'd either want to do field goal kicking for the football team, or I think wrestling is pretty cool. The wrestling program at Tech's great. I think that would just be a cool sport to do.
So if you lined up for Virginia Tech football this weekend and Coach Fuente looks at you and says, what's your distance? And you know you're going to hit this. What is your distance, you think, if you had to try and drill a field goal?
Oh, man. I don't know, does 40 plus sound something like that? 40? 30s? Yeah. 40s? I don't know. I think I could hit something like that.
Did you kick it all in high school?
No, but like I remember just, you know, kind of fooling around, just kind of kicking. I mean, that's also no pressure. You know, you're getting someone to hold the ball for you. There's no one rushing at you. So, I mean, that's where I'm putting my number. I'm taking things off of it. So
there you have it. Jacob Labovitz might have a hidden town that we don't know about yet. So maybe he can join his sister Sarah as a dual sport athlete. Speaking of two things, you are a dual citizen of obviously both the United States and Hungary, which is something I think is really unique. Tell our listeners a little bit about how that came to be and why you wanted to pursue being a citizen of Hungary.
So I think I just got to get my dates right here. Well, my great grandpa and everyone on my dad's side is originally from Hungary or, you know, Lithuania or Russia, you know, kind of the Eastern Europe block. And so I think it was 2015, me and my dad were talking that, you know, it'd be pretty cool to have a citizenship in case I ever wanted to play in Europe. You know, how it's like, you know, if you're a foreign player, you take a international spot from the team. I think, you know, depending on the league and the team and the caliber, you only have so many spots, you know, for international players. So if you have if you're part of the European Union, you know, you can play in any of the, I think it's like, I don't know, 24 or 25 countries that are in the European Union. You can play in any of those and not count as a foreign player. You know, you can kind of count as a, you know, a local in a sense. So I just thought if I ever wanted to do that, that'd be a pretty cool thing to kind of accomplish. And I mean, it's never, it's not easy to do. We had to do a lot of different stuff to, you know, make that happen. I think we started our journey like, you know, early 2016. I just got my citizenship January 2020. So it took a while, just a lot of different stuff you need and we hit some bumps in the road. And so overall it was a process for sure.
So, you know, that feeling when you go into a big exam and you ace it and that feeling of just like, wow, or a big game and you guys win it. I'm sure that feeling of relief, joy, excitement, four-year process, that's gotta be one of the biggest accomplishments of your life. Would you say, Jacob?
For sure. And I remember we originally submitted the application in, I think, 2017. And something happened where we needed more documents, so we had to restart the process. So that kind of added more time on it. And I thank God it was 2 months before COVID happened that we had the ceremony. So it was like, it was great that it was before that and we didn't run into any more problems, because it was just, you know, they like to be tedious and make sure that they know that you have every type of heritage that they require. And I respect that, understand that. So we had to find a lot of different stuff that I didn't even know existed. You know, I had to go to the archives and talk to a genealogist. So yeah, I mean, all sorts of stuff, but it was a really cool process because, you know, everyone in the family kind of learned more about our roots and our heritage. So, yeah.
And I know the ceremony's a big deal. Were you in Hungary when you had the ceremony?
No, I went to the embassy in DC, the consulate. There's, you know, embassy drive or whatever. So yeah, I went to there. It's like, yeah, 45 minutes away from my house. So it's nice. I think there's one more in New York. There's I don't know if the actual embassy is in New York or if it's in DC, but one of them is a consulate, one of them is the embassy. So those are the two you can kind of go to do it. And luckily DC was close.
You score big goals and big moments. You are a dual citizen. You do it all. And something that you might be doing later on in life is potentially working for a nonprofit, something that I think is really unique. Tell me about what you want to do to potentially help others through soccer.
Yeah, I think, just helping, you know, people who don't have access to soccer, who everyone should, you know, so it's kind of helping with all sorts of avenues. I explain it really, but you know, just kind of, giving everyone a chance, you know, that doesn't have one right away. Cause you know, soccer prices sometimes are so steep and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I know there's a ton of people who will help me out with this facility, that I know, and, you know, that will help out. So I got a lot of people who are willing to, you know, help with all sorts of other sports and everything like that. So
that's amazing. Yeah. So to put into it, so a nonprofit to help kids maybe with cleats or gear or whatever,
and
that
more means. Just, yeah. Some sort of, just more of like affordable coaching, you know, would be kind of so originally who I'd kind of planned to do this with is my sister and my girlfriend, actually. They both love field hockey. So they wanted to help field hockey because, you know, it's not a very big sport unless you're in the East Coast. So, you know, kind of helping all over the place, you know, kind of help affordable coaching and kind of, you know, helping maybe after school programs and just more making the sport. Really, the thing for me is making the sport available, because soccer, sometimes the club prices are so steep that it's just like, it's impossible sometimes to be able to afford that. And then if you add the traveling and the planes, you know, it's just a lot. And I want every single kid in the US to be able to play soccer. Cause you know, we have almost 400 million people here, and you know, some nations with only 5 million are able to be really good at soccer. So I feel like we have everything we need to be a powerhouse. So that's really, you know, that's what a lot of my major is about. And that's what mostly, I kind of want to do is help make the sport accessible.
That's amazing, Jacob. How long have you and your girlfriend, your sister, how long have you guys had this idea? I mean, it's not every day you sit down and say, hey, I want to start a nonprofit. How did this conversation start?
Yeah, I think it's maybe not the idea that essentially started, you know, probably not that long ago, but it's like the thoughts have always kind of been in my own head. Like when I kind of put in perspective, like, you know, wow, like this is a lot, or you look at prices of, you know, maybe you see a flyer somewhere and you see how much something costs and you're like, you know, that's a lot, you know, not everyone can do that. And everyone should have the chance to do it. So I'd say that, you know, that is, you know, something that's always been on my mind is to help change lives and help, and especially through sports, which is something I know so much about. And it's something that, like, you know, I feel like I could offer the best of myself because I know the most about it and I've kind of been around it a lot. So I think, you know, it's always been my goal to just help make soccer accessible. And then other sports, of course, you know, people who have more knowledge than me on other sports, you know, obviously can be of, you know, and there's all sorts of nonprofits I've seen. And in one of my classes, actually, we've been looking at all sorts of nonprofits for sports. So it's good to have people that have already kind of paved the way for you to kind of see what works, what doesn't, and kind of, you know, stuff like that.
And thinking about you transferring into Virginia Tech, a place where Ut Prosum, that I may serve, is such a marquee saying and something that all Hokies should strive to do. That's amazing. I mean, kudos to you. And I'm sure Hokie Nation, when you get that started, would love to help in any way possible.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing, that you meet so many, you know, people who are like-minded as you as Tech, and they, you know, as you said, so I may serve. So it's kind of like, it kind of helps that, you know, a lot of people, you know, will want to help you in any way they can. You know, they offer you advice, and, you know, there's so many people that will be able to help because it's just, there's so many alumni and there's so many people at the school currently. So it's just, it's a huge network. You know, there's a lot of people who can help you and who want to help you, you know.
Jacob, I seriously could talk to you for the next hour. You've got a game to play today. I don't want to hold you up any longer, but this kind of conversation segues into a great closing question that we ask each and every one of every coach, every student athlete that comes on the Hokie Sports Insider podcast. What does it mean to you to be a Hokie and be part of this community?
You know, this question, I would answer is like, it means to be something, a part of something bigger than myself, and that, you know, it's something that you kind of have for, as I was talking about earlier, like, you know, with connections and with just friendships and just the network of people you have, you know, you could either to help or to get helped. I feel like it's to be a Hokie means that you always have, you know, someone's back. You always are kind of able to look out for your own. And yeah, I'd say that's what it means to be a Hokie. It's just someone who I know, you know, is able to get help if I need it. And I'm always able to give help when I can, if someone, you know, reaches out for it. So.
Jacob, you are a star both on and off the pitch. Appreciate your time on the Hokie Sports Insider podcast. We're glad you're a Hokie. Thanks for all that you do. And best of luck the rest of the way. I know Hokie Nation is going to be behind you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
If you're a Hokies fan, you've got an appetite for winning. And if you're a Smithfield fan, you've got an appetite for our flavorful hickory smoked bacon and our deliciously versatile anytime favorites ham. As a proud sponsor of Virginia Tech football, we invite you to start every game day with a hearty Smithfield breakfast. It's the protein-packed way to get your morning started and prepare yourself for another victory. Fire up, Hokie Nation. Smithfield, for the love of meat.
Welcome back to the Hokie Sports Insider Podcast. Glad all of you are with us. Congratulations again to who they are calling Mr. Big Time Goal Scorer Jacob Labovitz and the Hokies on their win against Virginia. That was a ton of fun hearing his thoughts about the victory, how the fans really did make an impact on the win, and what he wants to do when his playing days are all said and done. I think that's really cool that he wants to give back and maybe work for a nonprofit one day. Again, my thanks to Jacob Labovitz for coming on the show. All right, here we go. Time to get you caught up on what's going on inside of Virginia Tech Athletics in less than 4 minutes as we go rapid fire around the different programs with the Hokies going on this fall. And let's continue talking about Virginia Tech men's soccer, still ranked inside of the top 20, coming off of the 2-1 win in Blacksburg against UVA. Now, the game was scoreless at halftime, and Ben Martino, by the way, can't forget to mention him. He was fantastic in goal with 8 saves. But then the offense got going in the second half. Jacob Labovitz, who you just heard from, put the Hokies on the board off of a Kyle McDowell free kick in the second half. UVA was able to tie it up. So we go into overtime, still no score. And then, folks, it's double overtime. One team either comes away with a goal or you draw and a tie. And Jacob Labovitz said, we don't want just 1 point. We want 3 points. He was able to come up with such a clutch goal to give Virginia Tech a thrilling win with a rocking crowd behind him. It was an amazing scene at Thompson Field. The double overtime winner from Jacob Labovitz. Paul Manels with an excellent, excellent ball into the box that he was able to head to the right side of the post for the goal. And here was the call from Dallin Cuff on the ACC network of Jacob Labovitz game winner against UVA at Thompson Field.
Manel's got a chance to play a ball in. Loops and looking for Labovitz. That's what you want. And they got it. That's your game winner on the brace. The senior does it again.
You can hear the emotion in Dallin's voice. You can hear the crowd. What a scene at Thompson Field. Over 2,700 Hokies in the stands. The exact numbers, again, that's a record for Thompson Field. 2,725 fans in the stands. Well done, Hokie Nation. You made a difference on Friday, and what a win for Coach Mike Brizendine's squad. Hokies played William & Mary yesterday on Tuesday, September 21st. Tech will be home against Notre Dame this Friday at 7 o'clock at Thompson Field. It's going to be a very fun match because Notre Dame has historically Really good soccer program. Hokies have a ton of momentum right now. But it also is the 50th anniversary game for Virginia Tech men's soccer. This is the 50th year of Hokies men's soccer in Blacksburg. And on Friday, the Hokies will welcome back all alums. Programs started in the 70s all the way to 2021. Alums from every decade will be there. They'll be recognized during halftime. And if you get a chance to join us on the ACC Network Extra, if you can't go, I'll be on the call with Emily Gray. Pleased to have Coach Jerry Chenet come on during the first half, the legendary men's soccer coach who took over in the late 70s and guided the Hokies into the early 2000s, into the Big East days. We'll be joined by Coach Chenet during the first half. Should be a great game between the Fighting Irish and the Hokies, and looking forward to recognizing 50 years of Virginia Tech men's soccer. And if you want to stay up to date with the program, you can follow the Hokies on Twitter. They're at HokiesMSoccer. Virginia Tech women's soccer, mentioned this stat at the top of the podcast. I'll bring it up again. They've won four of their last five games, three straight, and they are clicking on all cylinders right now. I'll ask Nicole Kozlova about what's going right for this team in just a little bit. She's our next guest on the Hokie Sports Insider podcast. But on Saturday at Thompson Field, following up Virginia Tech men's soccer's win against UVA on Friday, the Hokies answered on Saturday in what was a rainy night in Blacksburg. Scoreless game into the second half until Emily Gray found Carly Johnson in the 72nd minute. It's a lone goal of the game, 1-0 the final score. Here was Jake Lyman's call on the ACC Network Extra of Carly Johnson's goal.
Now the Hokies may be turning this into a chance. Gray sneaks through to the right side. It's in.
Great call from Jake. Excellent pass from Gray. Better finish from Carly Johnson. Hokies with momentum right now. And they have a big week ahead. Opportunity for the Hokies on Thursday as they travel to second-ranked North Carolina. A 7 o'clock start. You can watch that on the ACC Network Extra. And then the Hokies back at home against 4th-ranked Duke Sunday at 5 o'clock. That'll be on the ACC Network. So a big opportunity against two teams, not only in the ACC, but in the top four in the country, in North Carolina and Duke. You can stay up to date with Virginia Tech women's soccer by following them on Twitter at HokiesWSoccer. How about Virginia Tech volleyball moving to 9-3 on the season this past weekend after hosting the Hokie Invite inside of Castle Coliseum? Hokies went 2-1 on the weekend. Played a doubleheader on Friday, so let's get you caught up on match number one, in which Tech knocked off George Mason 3-1. Huge weekend for Greer Hughes. You'll hear me talk about her a lot here over the next couple of minutes. She had 14 kills against George Mason. And then Angel Robinson, who was on the podcast last week, 6 kills, 7 blocks. She was terrific against George Mason. And then on Friday night, a 3-0 win over Wofford. Amanda Lowe had a great weekend. She had back-to-back double-digit kills games, had double-digit kills against George Mason, double-digit kills against Wofford. Excellent weekend for Amanda. And Greer Hughes had 10-plus kills against Wofford. That was a similar theme on Saturday, but the Hokies, who had a 2-0 set lead against North Carolina A&T, dropped the match 3-2 the final in what was a thriller. Greer Hughes, Marissa Serco, and Amanda Lowe all had 10-plus kills, very involved in the offense. So despite the loss, Hokies, really great non-conference, folks. They go 9-3, and they open the ACC slate this week at Castle Coliseum. Hokies will play host to Clemson at 6 o'clock on Friday on the ACC Network Extra. And then on Sunday at 1 o'clock, they'll host Georgia Tech. That'll also be available on the ACC Network Extra. If you can't make it to Castle Coliseum, Bailey Engel and Jake Lawrence will have the call on the ACC Network Extra. Of course, you can stay up to date with the program by following them on Twitter at HokiesVB. Lastly, Virginia Tech cross country's had a great start to their season. They did not compete last week. They are off until October 1st, but you can follow them on Twitter at HokiesTFXC. Again, that's at HokiesTFXC. We'll keep you up to date with cross country as the season goes along. Well, we just talked to Jacob Labovitz a couple of minutes ago, who is such an elite goal scorer for Virginia Tech men's soccer and makes such a difference for that program. So does our next guest, Nicole Kozlova of Virginia Tech women's soccer, who's had such a great career here at Virginia Tech, also for the Ukrainian national team. She's from Toronto, Ontario. She does it all. She loves the game of soccer, and you are going to love this conversation with Nicole. We talk about how someone from Toronto gets to Blacksburg. The first time she met Coach Chugger Adair, it's a great story. You are going to love that. And how do you get from Blacksburg, Virginia to Ukraine? How many hours on a plane is that? Great conversation ahead with Nicole Kozlova of Virginia Tech women's soccer. You're listening to episode number 7 of the Hokie Sports Insider Podcast. And now here's my conversation with Nicole Kozlova. Nicole, want to thank you so much for taking some time in the middle of what is going to be a busy week for Virginia Tech women's soccer. But thanks for being here and congratulations on a thrilling 1-0 win over NC State this weekend to open up ACC play. How did that one feel to get that one under your belt? Because you guys have had so much momentum going into that game.
Yeah, I think going into that game, we knew we needed a result. And now that it's ACC play, every point, every game counts, and it's not going to be easy. None of the games are going to be easy, and at the end of the day, just getting that result may not be the prettiest game, may have had to put some other chances away, some luck, but that's what's going to happen with every single ACC game. And so it was such a great feeling to get that result under our belt and kind of just like move on forward to the next game.
Take me through the win. What did your team do right in the victory, and what were your general takeaways from the victory over the Wolfpack?
Yeah, first half, we started very strong. We created a lot of good chances in the attacking half. I think we had to put away a few of those chances, myself included. But we just really stuck to the game plan and moved the ball around, created chances, and shut down their dangerous attack. Second half, they made an adjustment with formation and did catch us kind of off guard. And it took us a bit to get ourselves adjusted. They had some really good chances with a bit of luck. But once we refocused, readjusted our own formation, I think we were able to close the game out really well, and we got that one goal, and I'm so happy that Carly stepped up in such a big moment and got that goal.
Yeah, Carly Johnson, somebody who I believe led the team in goals as a freshman a couple of years ago, had a goal against Texas in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago. Was it nice to see her as a senior step up in a moment like that for you guys off the bench?
Yeah, for sure. I love just seeing any of my teammates have that opportunity to make that change and when they use their chances that they have on the field. And I'm just so happy for every single teammate, whenever, I'm just so happy for every single person.
For fans that have not seen the goal, you can go to @HokiesWSoccer on Twitter. And when you see the goal, you'll see the beautiful pass, the finish. You'll also see it was pouring down rain on Saturday in Blacksburg. You guys have played through the pouring rain before, but what's it like when the conditions start to get really wet over at Thompson?
Yeah, it can. We've had some luck with rain this year. I think we've had a few lightning delays. But at the end of the day, it just, you kind of have to simplify your game just a bit because the touches get harder. But it also adds a layer of fun, I personally think. You're just like, you're soaking wet, the ball's slipping, you're all playing, and you're playing your favorite sport. So I love it personally.
When you go in for a challenge or a slide tackle, is it more fun when it is pouring down rain?
Oh, for sure. Because when you're sliding, you just kind of slide on the field. Nothing. No grass burns, nothing. It's very nice.
We're talking with Nicole Kozlova of Virginia Tech women's soccer here on the Hokie Sports Insider Podcast. Nicole, you guys have won 4 of your last 5, 3 straight. What has been clicking for this team over the last 2 weeks?
I think we are confident in ourselves and knowing that we can play some nice soccer, moving the ball around, creating that movement off the ball, on the ball. And just like, I think our confidence in ourselves is growing, and we know that we have kind of our own identity and we can play soccer. And just as we do that, we're creating the chances. I think we've had a good amount of chances every single game, and all those chances have been very good. And in the key moments, people are putting away those chances. So I just think as we keep getting better and better, playing harder opponents, I think we just have to remember that we are just as good, and we have to stick to our game plan and know that at the end of the day, as long as we do what we can and put our best foot forward, we have a really good chance.
A couple of weeks ago, you guys went to Cincinnati. It was tough because there was a weather delay right in the middle of the game. You guys ended up losing 2-1. How did you guys rebound from that game? What did you take away from the loss to Cincinnati, and how has it helped you at this point in the season, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of like, I think things were going really well right before that game. And I think for some girls, it might have gotten a bit like, oh, look at us. We're doing so well, which we were. Don't get me wrong. But I think it was just kind of an eye opener that at any day, any given day, anybody can beat anybody. And if you don't come to every single game prepared, that can happen. If no matter if the team is better, worse, anything, like every single game is one game at a time kind of deal. So I just think since then we've really been taking it one game at a time and going in like strong mentally to each game, making sure we're prepared.
So 2 weeks ago, you guys with a win over then number 12 South Carolina in Columbia. It was the final non-conference game before you guys started ACC play this past week against North Carolina State. And what a win. 1-0. You had a beautiful ball played to Emily Gray, the lone goal of the game. Just what kind of confidence did that give you guys going into the NC State game?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was such a nice big win for us. I know we're always looking for those significant wins. They mean a lot for our team. And it just like I said, it grew all our confidence, I think. And it was just an important win against a very strong SEC team, our last non-conference game. And it kind of, for us personally, like, it took away our losses. It made us feel better about our losses with Cincinnati and Santa Clara, because I know for some of us, those losses were glooming over us. And then just going into ACC play, we had this like really strong win, and we knew like now we just keep going and we get better.
You know, the ACC is such a good conference. So many sports, right? Basketball, football. But when it comes to soccer, it is a gauntlet on both the men's and the women's side. Just how much do you have to be prepared both physically but mentally going into a stretch of weeks and weeks and weeks of really good opponents?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I've talked to some of my friends who are in other conference, and sometimes it's one of those like, oh, we have this really hard opponent, but then we kind of have like a leeway. And ACC, it's, oh, we're playing this person. Oh, now we're playing this team. Oh, now we have this team coming up. So it's always like, you're always like, no game is going to be easy. But personally, and I think our team is kind of in that same boat this year, is like that challenge, and that every single game we have this great opportunity to prove some people wrong, prove ourselves right kind of deal. And so like, I think we just take every single game. You just have to not get ahead of yourself. You can't think about the next few games. You just really have to think about the one game upcoming. And I think that's what we've been doing as a team this year, which has been really good.
I'm going to ask you about those upcoming games momentarily, because an important stretch for you guys. You're at number 2 North Carolina on Thursday, and then home against number 4 Duke on Sunday. Do you look forward to these kind of games as a player and the opportunity that lies ahead?
Yeah, I think for sure I do. Personally, as a player who really wants to take my game to the next level and play professionally, in moments like this when you're playing some of the best teams in the country and some of the best players in the country, it's just your opportunity to prove, just to see yourself at that level and kind of compete. And like, if you don't like to compete, you really shouldn't be playing soccer. But also, yeah, it's just a great opportunity for our team. And personally, I think we need to go in with our mindset of like, we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Not many people think we have a good shot, but like, it's soccer. Anybody can win at any day. So just going in with that mentality that we have to give everything we have.
Well, I think you guys have a chance to win every time you play. And that's because of all, I mean, don't get me wrong, Aaliyah Skinner in goal. You've got such a great back line of young players, but also, Nicole, the opportunities you guys have in the attacking third with the amount of just really talented players you guys have, yourself, Emily Gray, Carly Johnson coming off the bench. You've got Emily McCarter coming off the bench. I mean, there's so many pieces. I'm going to leave out Gabby Johnson, Avery Therrington. I mean, the list goes on and on. Just how talented of a bunch do you guys have on this year's squad?
Yeah, I really do think we have a very talented bunch, and I just love the variety. We have freshmen stepping up into starting spots, seniors stepping up into their leadership roles, and just everybody in between is doing their job, and everybody kind of knows their role, and anybody coming off the bench tries to use their opportunity that they have, because at the end of the day, it's a game of, it's all 32 of us that are all very key for us to win and to be successful. So I think we have a very talented group, and everything is just, as long as everybody keeps working hard and our mentality's right, it'll just keep getting better and better.
Nicole Kozlova, our guest on this week's episode of the Hokie Sports Insider Podcast from Toronto, Ontario, the hometown of Nicole. I'm curious, growing up in Canada as a kid, does everybody play soccer growing up? What are the sports that you're kind of told you need to play as a kid?
I think soccer is a very popular one, especially a summer sport. I think we just have so many leagues, like house league, rep, whatever, which is like competitive. And so kind of I think everybody kind of gets signed up to for soccer at some point. Another really popular one is hockey in the winter. Never got into it, unfortunately, even though I wanted to, but my mom said I had too much on my plate. But yeah, so I think soccer is quite a popular played sport.
And of course, hockey, that makes a ton of sense. I'm sure if you play both hockey and soccer, your toughness is through the roof, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, for me, when I wanted to play hockey, I was also doing gymnastics competitively. So it was either I quit one of the sports and do hockey, and I wasn't going to do that. So personally, I never played hockey, but I knew a lot of girls who kind of did soccer in the summer, hockey in the winter, and yeah, you're tough.
When did you first decide to start playing soccer competitively? Did you know that you loved the sport as soon as you started playing?
Yeah, I think I got the love for the game from my dad, for sure. Just he was always someone who, he loves the game, he loves to watch it, I would follow the team he'd follow. And when I was little, I kind of just started it for fun. And then I was kind of just doing lots of different sports. I was always a very like active kid. And then I think I was around 8, I joined kind of a team where it was a boys team, and the coach there kind of took me under his wing, and he taught me a lot of the things I know now. And a lot of my skills, I say thanks to him, just because he taught me so much. And as that kind of time went on and I started to play more seriously, I got better. And then it started being like provincials, like Team Ontario, representing that. That's kind of when my focus like really shifted to just soccer. And from there on, yep.
What age did you know that you wanted to play potentially Division I soccer in the United States and pursue this collegiately like you have?
It was actually kind of very last minute. I didn't really know it existed for quite a while. And then in grade 10, as like the talks kind of started, I was like, oh, I want to do that because I want to get a degree and I want to play soccer at the highest level and kind of get that stepping stone before I plan to play professionally. So as soon as I started, like once I learned about it, I knew that's exactly what I wanted to be doing.
Talking with Nicole Kozlova on the Hokie Sports Insider podcast. Mentioned you're from Toronto, Ontario. I'm curious, how different is Blacksburg, Virginia from your hometown in Canada?
Yeah, well, I'm from a very big city. A lot of people say Toronto is like the New York City of Canada just because of the skyscrapers, the busy streets, lots of cars driving around. So it's very, very different looking. No mountains surrounding Toronto, no big campus in the middle of it. Blacksburg, personally, it's a very small town. It was a big adjustment for me, having a huge, huge downtown in Toronto to having a two-block downtown in Blacksburg. But personally, like, I love, like, the mountains that are surrounding Blacksburg. I love going on hikes. I'm a big nature person, so I love being able to do that here. In Toronto, you can do it too, but you kind of have to go more on the outskirts.
So you're so far away from home right now as we sit and record in the Merriman Center. How did you find out you got to Virginia Tech and did you meet Coach Adair and everything? How hard was it for you to market yourself, or was it easy to market yourself being from Canada, trying to show these American coaches that you wanted to come and play when you're so far away?
Yeah, it was tough, and I think it was a very different situation than everybody else here I know at Tech, just because I know when you're kind of American, coaches go to high school games, go to all your club games, and you have a lot of more opportunities to show yourself. Being from Canada, we had a few showcases, but a lot of the same schools kind of went to those showcases, and personally, I knew I wanted something a bit bigger. I really wanted to play in the ACC once I had done my research, because I knew it was a best conference for women's soccer. So then I kind of took a route of going to Day ID camp. I did some research of schools that were academically strong and athletically strong. And so once I had kind of my list, I started going to ID camps. And basically, you had to perform at these one-day camps because they really only see you once. And luckily, a lot of the ID camps I went to, I had, like, interest in me. And after that, that kind of got them to travel and see me play more often. And they even came up to Canada twice, Virginia Tech did, for example. So then that's when they got to see me more, like, in person. But other than that, it was really going to those ID camps on weekends and just showing myself.
Your first interaction with Virginia Tech's coaching staff, where was it? Who was there? And did you know right away that there was an interest from both you and the coaching staff in maybe coming to Blacksburg?
Well, this is actually a very funny situation that Chuggert never forgets to bring up. But me and my dad got lost, so we came late to the ID camp. And so the team, everybody was already training, and I kind of just run up and I'm like, hi, I'm Nicole, I'm Lee. And they're like, okay, just jump in. And the very first, like, I had done my research. I knew who Chugger was. I knew who everybody was, but often it's hard to put, like, a picture to a face. And so my very first drill was, like, these 1v1 transition game, which personally is one of my favorites and one of my skills. I love 1v1 attacking. And Chugger was the coach leading that one drill, and I had no idea. And I was just doing really well, and this guy kept coming up to me and asking details about me, like, who I am, what position I play, and where I'm from, and... later that day, I found out that was Chugger. So that was kind of my first interaction. And to this day, he always brings up, yeah, she came late to her ID camp. But yeah, that was the first time. And I think by the end of the day, I knew they had some interest in me and I had started talking with them.
That was on your dad for being late, right? That wasn't you, of course.
Yeah, for sure. No, we just got lost. We couldn't find the field.
That's a great story. And I, knowing the personality of Coach Chugger there, that is certainly something I could see him bringing up. You get to Blacksburg. I'm curious, the first time you step foot on this campus, what's going through your mind? Because you mentioned it was adjustment. You mentioned it's a small town compared to where you're from. Like, was it the first time you had seen mountains before? I mean, what's going through your mind when you're walking around campus for the first time?
I guess my situation was a bit, it got changed a bit just because I did tear my ACL right before coming. And I knew I was getting surgery. So I moved here July 2nd and got surgery July 3rd. So it was a bit different coming in. I knew, like, things weren't going to be the way they were going to be. And I was really just, me and my dad were trying to get everything done before surgery. But for sure, it was kind of like, well, I've seen the campus a few times just because I came to summer long ID camp. So I was kind of familiar with it. But for me, it was just like how big the campus was a big adjustment. And then after my surgery, once I was a bit more recovered and went on my first hike, I loved it.
How difficult was that for you coming to a new country, coming to a new place and tearing your ACL? How has that made you a stronger player, a stronger person, having to go through all of that change in such a short period of time like you did?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, freshman year was probably my toughest time here at Tech. I think it was really hard, especially coming in as a freshman and not, like, when you're injured, you're not really part of the team. It's hard. Like, you're not training, you're not traveling, you're kind of in the rehab, you're in the training room doing rehab every day. So you're alone a lot, and it was really hard to build those connections because I wasn't really interacting with different sports, different people on my team. So like the social side was really hard, but I grew so much as a person from this whole experience. For example, one thing is now I stretch. I used to never stretch. I was that player who was like, I don't need it. And then I've started taking that seriously. So just physically, I've started taking a lot more things seriously, my nutrition, my recovery and things like that. But mentally it was for sure. Like I, for example, came back a lot faster than they were going to let me and was intended to come back from ACL just because I had a goal in mind with the U19 Ukraine national team. But just me pushing myself through that and going through that all, like, mentally, I think it's made me so much stronger.
And you come back stronger, like you just said, in your first year, led the team in goals, points, shots on goal. What made you so successful coming back off that injury in your first year in college, at least on the pitch? What allowed for so much success?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it just comes to like all the work I kind of put on the field, but behind kind of the scenes. I love to be going out to do extra work and just spending hours on making sure my fitness level is there and making sure all my touches are back. So I think just like when I was coming back, I was just so hungry to finally be playing. And I think I had spent so much work on myself just making sure I was ready and prepared. And I think it was a good intro to college soccer.
Well, soccer has certainly taken you all over the world, from your hometown in Canada to Blacksburg, Virginia in the ACC, and on the Ukrainian national team. You are a member of that team for many years now. How different is it playing against some of the best players in the world and representing Ukraine and then coming back and playing college soccer? How different or similar are the two?
Yeah, I think personally the styles are a bit different. When I go overseas, just a bit more experience. And so we play a bit more like moving the ball soccer, kind of like less based on athleticism like the States are. But at the end of the day, it's soccer all over the world. But every time I do go overseas and come back, I just feel personally, I feel like I have to lead the team just kind of like with the experience I do get and bring it back to the girls and just sharing that experiences with them and just being the leader on and off the field, and just anything I learn from over there, I try to bring to my game here. Same thing. Anything I learn here, I try to bring to my game there. So I think just all having all these opportunities and experiences just improves me as a player all around. And it's like the experiences are like, I can't even describe them. They're great.
Take me through the process of making that team. First off, your connection to Ukraine and what that was like actually making the senior women's national team representing the country of Ukraine.
Yeah, so both my parents are Ukrainian. I had visited the country a lot when I was young to see my family, see my grandparents, so things like that. And honestly, now we have a much closer connection to Ukraine. Just we kind of came back. But I started as a youth player, so like U17, kind of I had a one little round there. We got a connection through some people we knew. They saw me over there, they liked me, and so then I kind of became like a consistent person from U17, moved up to U19 when I was of age. Well, I did do a little one earlier where I was a bit younger, but moved up to U19, grew there as a player, I met some best friends that for a while, it's a different culture, so it took a bit of adjusting, but met some best friends that I still am very close to this day. And as I succeeded as I became a leader on that U19 team, grew as a player, got older, it was time to move on to the national team as I was too old for U19. There was a little pause just because of my ACL, may have been a bit earlier, but as soon as I got that opportunity with the national team, I was like, okay, time to work. And it wasn't all smooth at first. I didn't really play. I was kind of just that young player on the side. And I knew personally, I was like, that's not the role I want on this team. I want to be playing. I want to be creating an impact. So I just kind of got to work. And as time went on, I moved on to being one of the starters for the most part, and just being a role of being a goal scorer on that team. And just, even though I'm one of the youngest, I like to think I'm also a leader on and off the field.
Yeah, very well said. I think that's one of the most unique things of any athlete at Virginia Tech, that you get to go represent the Ukrainian national team. And I'm sure you have gotten used to long airplane rides, right? Can you tell me about, like, if you're leaving Blacksburg, where you need to fly to in order to get to Ukraine?
Yeah, well, traveling is quite fun when I have these national team trips. It's usually three flights, so it's usually a connection from Roanoke to, like, a Dulles-type airport. There, I'd go to some, like, a Germany or France, and then I'd go to Ukraine. So it's, like, usually three flights, takes usually 24 hours, and it's one way 24 hours, then I have an adjustment of 7 hours, and then it's usually a same trip back of three flights. So it's been, I remember 2019, I counted, I was like on 47 flights or something.
Do you have any tips for people who travel more than 5 or 6 hours? Like, what do you do to pass the time for a 24-hour trip?
I love when they're night flights, because then I force myself to sleep. And if it's an emptier flight, you have to find that extra seat so you can lay down, which I always try my best. I'm always looking around. But I also, I pack my own food, my snacks, just to get me through the day, because as much as I travel, I hate airplane food. Don't usually eat it. And then just having stuff to do. Movies are always good to watch. So, like, at this point, planes are quite fancy, even the most economy seats. They have a movie, so I'll watch a movie, sleep a bit, read something, and time passes pretty quickly.
You should make a Nicole Kozlova power rankings of movies and books that you have read or watched on airplanes. I think the Hokie Nation would follow along and enjoy that.
For sure. No, I've actually really wanted to kind of, I wanted to get like a GoPro and film myself on these like trips. Not the most artistic person, so I know if I was to take that challenge, I wouldn't do too great. You'd probably see a lot of like weird clips, but I am going to get on it at some point just to get my experiences on film.
So if you're listening right now and you're thinking, how hard is it for Nicole Kozlova to have a hometown in Canada and live there, live in Blacksburg, live in Ukraine parts of the year, travel as much as you do, play on the Ukrainian women's national team and the Virginia Tech team, and also be a student at the same time? And if you think Nicole maybe has an easy major because of all this, well, folks, think again. Nicole is a computational modeling and data analytics major with a minor in mathematics. So first off, tell our listeners, what is computational modeling and data analytics all about?
Yeah, so basically it's taking big data and providing some sort of analysis on it to get some sort of conclusion. So you do that with using different coding languages. For anybody technical, R or Python specifically are the most popular. So you kind of just alter the data, clean it up, get the information, extract the information you need from it, and then perform some sort of analysis on it using like math models, statistics, statistical analysis type things, and then you spit out kind of a conclusion. So it's happening. It's all over the world. Data analytics, kind of, it's one of the most important things because the amount of data we have in this world is ginormous in every field. You can say sports, money, finance. Literally any company has a data science team on there because they have analytics to go through. So it's a very key role right now.
And what do you want to do with this major when your playing days are over, which I know are far away from being over, but when it's all said and done, what do you want to do with your degree?
Yeah, I have a really big interest in soccer analytics specifically just because, as we all know, soccer is one of my biggest passions, but I also love analytics and numbers. So combining those two passions is kind of my plan. And I had an internship this summer where I worked with one of the leading soccer analytics companies in the world, StatsBomb, based in England. So I do plan for sure when I'm done soccer, but even it's kind of a job that you don't always have to be. It's not a 9-to-5 office job. So I do hope that once things are settled and I get kind of in my groove of soccer, hopefully land play somewhere where I love it and things are going well and I can start taking up some projects with soccer analytics specifically and just doing research papers and things like that, because it's something you can't always be doing and you don't need to be at a job office every day.
So here's my takeaways from this interview with Nicole Kozlova. As a comm major as I was in college and everything I have going on in my life, and probably 95% of Hokies listening right now, our lives are not as quite as busy but as entertaining as yours is. So thanks for sharing it with us, Nicole. I'm curious. My final question I ask everybody, it always gives a great answer, but every guest we have on the podcast, we close with the same question. What does it mean to you to be a Hokie?
I just think it's a community that's built. I know, as you said, I travel a lot, and literally almost every single airport I go to, if I have a Virginia Tech, anything on me, I get a Go Hokies. And so just that community you built, and I'm going to have this community my whole life. Personally, I think I graduate this fall, but I know for the rest of my life, I'm always going to have Hokies behind me.
Nicole, congratulations on all of your success. Hokie Nation, we'll be behind you guys moving forward the rest of the year. And best of luck this week against the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils.
Thank you so much, Evan.
Really want to thank Nicole for her time coming on the Hokie Sports Insider podcast this week, and all of our student athletes that come on, because they have such really tight schedules. There's not a lot of free time for them in between practice, travel, games, and of course, being student athletes, having to go to classes. It's funny, we were just talking to Nicole about how difficult her major is. And just as we stopped recording, she showed me a video of the first math question she had for homework. It took her four pages, and I'm talking full pages, to solve question number one. I know I am certainly glad that I am not in her major because it requires a lot of numbers, but it's really cool to see what she wants to do with analytics and stats in the game of soccer when her playing career is all said and done. And just like that, that'll wrap up episode number 7 of the Hokie Sports Insider Podcast. My thanks to our guests, Jacob Labovitz and Nicole Kozlova. Two great people, two great Hokies, and both are looking to have another big week for their programs. Be sure to give us a review. Listen to all of the great content across Hokie Pod, whether you listen to Tech Talk Live archives on Tuesdays, Hokie Sports Insider on Wednesday, or Hokie's Game Plan, where John Lazor and Mike Burnup sit down with coordinators Brad Cornelson and Justin Hamilton each and every week. Be sure to listen to all of our great content. And again, give us a like, give us a review wherever you are listening to Hokie Sports Insider. Lastly, a reminder, you can always tweet at me. I'm at Evan K. Hughes on Twitter. If you have an interview idea or anything we can do to make this podcast even better. Hope you'll join us next Wednesday for Hokie Sports Insider. We'll have two more great guests, and we'll continue to talk about all the great things going on in Virginia Tech athletics. Until then, Evan Hughes saying so long. Thanks so much for listening to the Hokie Sports Insider podcast, proudly presented by Main Street Pharmacy and Smithfield. Have a great week, Hokies.